By the time the conversation ended with the Coast Guard, only a matter of minutes describing what we're doing, where we are, who we are, the situation worsened to the point where the ocean was now coming all the way back to the house and crashing right back at the house. So the front 500 and plus feet of ship was invisible, completely underwater. And the condition of this ship just lent itself to a catastrophe at that point.
The known condition
of the ship, the hatches. On this ship, when you were done loading cargo, steel plates, for lack of better description, stacked up like an accordion, would open up and drop onto the hatches and secure. Well, they were in such bad shape, there were spots that were rusted and holes were in the hatches. They wouldn't lock firmly on the hatch combings and so forth. So in this type of weather, I think that might be me, in this type of weather, the water coming up onto the hatches and so forth was allowing the water to get down into the cargo hatches, which was coal. Coal makes a slurry when it gets wet. So I think that as the coal got heavier and heavier and heavier, obviously the ship lost its stability and she disappeared under the water, the front part. Still afloat.
Where were you at this point?
I was on the bridge of the ship.
Okay.
Probably 5 or 6 stories up.
And what were you doing at that point?
Well, a lot of things.
And this is around a half hour after you were called?
This is about 1:30 in the morning.
Okay.
At that point, the captain said, muster the crew for an abandoned ship. So it was...
Continue, please. That's okay.
Myself... Several of the other, Clay Babineau, the second mate, started to go around banging on doors mustering the crew. I went back to my room and packed a bag, a backpack with, we didn't have cell phones then, a portable radio, because back in those days you could use that as a radio directional finder to help navigate a lifeboat. I put a chart. I put some other navigation stuff into this bag, and I hung it on my doorknob in my cabin so that if and when we abandoned ship, I could dash right there, grab it, and go to my lifeboat station. Clay Babineau and I then went around and grabbed as many life rings as we could find. They're stationed all over the ship, but we went and we gathered them and we put them in one spot so when the ship sank, all the life ring would float free. We also went, excuse me, and I gathered 2 EPIRBs. EPIRBs are electronic emergency positioning radio beacons. When a ship sinks, they automatically activate and float to the surface.
Do you need a minute?
Yeah, glass of water.
Okay. We're ready. Mm-hmm.